He'll let you into his heaven. There's only one answer. I claim the blood that Jesus Christ shed on Calvary. That's the only answer that there is. The only answer that will be accepted. And if you don't know about that this morning, I encourage you before you leave today that you'll seek one of us out, that we can explain exactly what that means. There should not be a person leave today that has any question whatsoever about whether or not they're going to heaven.
Amen.
It should be a confidence. And the confidence is not in us, because we didn't do anything for that salvation. The confidence is in Him that finished it. Jesus Christ did it all. All to Him we owe. And we praise the Lord for that. Brother Scott Carsley is coming at this time. We've grown to love him and his family and his ministry. He's founder of the Edge Christian Camp. And as he comes, he is going to be telling us a little bit about the camp. And we'll see that video. Paul, get that ready. And so, Brother Scott, if you'll come on up at this time, I'll turn it right over to you. And you can share with us as you see fit. And God bless you. Appreciate you being willing to be here with us today.
Thank you, Pastor. It is always an honor to be here. We love this church. If you don't know that, our family loves this church. Our camp ministry loves this church. I feel like we have friends in this church, and so those of you that disagree, just talk to me afterwards. But we love this church, and we love being here. We just released a new video for 2024 that kind of gives a little short blip of who we are at the Edge. It's about 4 minutes long. You are literally the third church to see it. And so there's still a little bit of workings going on in the background, but we just wanted to share it with you, and then we'll dive right into the Word of God. And I'll give you some updates on the camp as well.
Of the world has never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. That's 3.4 billion people who don't know what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Imagine if that was you.
Christian camp located in Spring Grove, Virginia, and we are here for the purpose of reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to disciple men, women, and children for the glory of God. And we are accomplishing this task through summer camp, which allows young people and families to get away from the distractions and influences of the world and into a fun and exciting environment that is centrally focused on the Word of God for an entire week. God has also opened the door for us to be able to host conferences for pastors, evangelists, church leaders, young adults, businessmen and women, and many others to help them grow spiritually through practical, driven sessions for the purpose of equipping them for the work of the ministry. Edge to Go, where we bring camp to churches and Christian schools across the nation and even across the world, is a ministry accomplished by partnering with missionaries where camp may not be an option for the people that are in that country. We go to the missionaries, supply them with the equipment needed to run camps and retreats, and train them personally so that they can continue even after we leave the country. Another burden that God has given to the Edge Christian Camp is to assist pastors and church leaders through strategically mapping out the vision and burden that God has given them for their specific ministry. This includes an emphasis on strategic planning, master planning, development planning, financial planning, vision and goals, staff management, funding, and servant leadership. You can also come to one of our many retreats that we host throughout the year, or design your own custom camp by visiting us at theedge.camp to see how you can plan your retreat today. It is a privilege and an honor to partner with you in reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ and disciple them for the glory of God. God has placed us here at the Edge Christian Camp for this one purpose, and we need you to be able to accomplish this task by volunteering, partnering with us financially, and most importantly, your prayers.
Messages one week of camp, and was beginning to question my salvation. What if I can
gives you kind of a glimpse of what we're doing there at the Edge. You know, our ministry is expanding, and we're grateful for it. We launched our international ministry here in 2023 as we were blessed with the ability to spend 7 days in the Dominican Republic, reach young people with the gospel of Christ. We're looking forward to our next visit, which will be in Brazil in February of 2025. If I had my way, I would do 3 or 4 of these trips a year. But we're working on God's timing and not mine, and I have to consistently remind myself that it's about God's timing and not mine. God did not call us to the mission field. This is just a window that God has opened for our ministry to be able to reach the world. My heart has been burdened heavy these last couple years with just evangelistic outreach, reaching folks with the gospel. If there is nothing else that you get out of this entire meeting this morning, get the clear gospel. It's the best decision you're going to make in your entire life, knowing Jesus Christ on a personal level. It will change your life for the good, because it is about the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. And you know, our heart is to reach as many people as God gives us the opportunity to reach in the little bit of time that we have. You know, we read our Bible, we study it, we look at all opportunities. And there's many times in my day where I'm reminded that there's a purpose in where I am right this morning. For such a time as this. What is my purpose where I'm at today? And what more can I do for the work of the Lord? You know, if my vision, I do have quite a big vision, and I believe that God will fulfill it, because I've seen God fulfill our big vision from the beginning in 2016. I'd love to see more camps built around the United States. I'd love to see more camps built all over the United States. I'd love to see our teens have opportunities to go and reach the lost in every country that God opens doors to go to. And we're also have sort of launched our, you kind of got a glimpse of that in the video, we call it our vision and planning ministry, because my heart and passion is to help the local church where they're at. Whether that's in their growth, whether that's in their meetings and their leadership, in their finances, whatever it is. And so last year we hosted our first vision and planning conference where we came together and did a bunch of sessions on different subjects. We had a wonderful turnout, and we're looking forward to this August when we hold our second one. And it's given us an opportunity to work with a number of local churches and their pastors and help working with their growth of their ministry, whether it's door knocking or whatever. And so I would love to talk to you about that too as well. But this morning, I want us to meet over in the book of Acts in chapter 8. And I want to look at this life. You're probably very familiar with the story. It's the life of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Is this the microphone I'm using? Okay, good. So I can move around. Oh, then I leave the camera. So I'm torn. You know, Philip here, he's an evangelist in the Bible, and we see, beginning in verse 5, it says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things that Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits cried with a loud voice, came out of many, and were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. And there was great joy in the city." We see what's going on here in the life of Philip and where he was at. But the passage that we're going to look at, I just wanted to bring those couple of verses to kind of bring you into context here. I'm going to begin reading in verse 26. When we jump down, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which was read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began with the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, and both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Father, we're so grateful for this day. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity as we come and study your word. I pray, Lord, that you give me the words to preach. I pray that you just fill this room with the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us feed our souls. Lord, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a wonderful point in time here in the Bible where Philip has been over here in Samaria, has been preaching. I mean, just miracles are occurring. The revival is happening. But then God, as they were in Jerusalem, God said, Hey, Philip, I want you to go to a place called desert. Basically, I want you to go to reach one soul. Think about that for just a moment. I want you to go to a desert place. As I read and I study this, and I enjoy studying the life of Philip and just the little bit that we have of him, just knowing that he's an evangelist and he's going around, he's preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and just some of the things that we can see in his life, I began to think about, as I put a title to this message, I called it Navigating the Desert of Life. And the reason I came up with that is this very thing. Every one of us this morning is in our own desert place where God has placed us. Does that make sense? I'm in my desert place. You're in your desert place where God has placed you. There is a work to be done. And you think, well, maybe I'm not ready for the work. Well, here's the first question. Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? You see, Philip here is preaching and teaching and seeing souls saved, seeing miracles done. And then he's called to a new place where he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, this one person. And we know that the eunuch gets saved because he's dying to run to the river and get baptized. And you may look at me this morning and say, well, I don't know that I'm truly saved. I don't know that I've truly placed my faith in Jesus Christ. Folks, this morning, I want to encourage you, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day when you can place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and live a life toward Him today. Putting off the old man, putting on the new. I got to thinking about this, and I just jotted down these three things. I got to thinking about the foundations of life. What are my foundations in life? There are so many things that I can lean on. I can lean on money. I can lean on job. I can lean on friends. I can lean on family. But I can lean on God. So what is the foundations in life? When I think about it and I go through and I study God's word, I said, okay, what is the foundations in life? Well, the foundations in life for me is back in Genesis 1:1 when it says, in the beginning, God. That's where we start. In the beginning, God. There was nothing and God said, poof. And in and through that, God created me. Probably not the perfect person that many of you are, but He still created me. And there was a purpose for me. And there was a purpose for you. So my foundation in life should be, in the beginning, God. Meaning, God is my foundation. God is the reason I breathe. God is the reason I eat. God is the reason that I do work. God is the reason that I have friends and family. God is the reason for it all. But not only that, then I got to thinking about the direction in life? What is the direction in life? Well, for me, the direction in life is God's holy word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So what is the direction of life? God's all-inspired holy word. And we have it. We have God's word. Think about this morning. My third thing is things that we hold dear to us. So I began to think about, okay, my foundations in life is God. My direction in life should be driven through God's word, or by God's word. So then I begin to question myself, what are the things in life that I hold dear to? What do you mean, Brother Scott? What are you talking about? How about, are we holding dear to the things of this world, or are we holding dear to the things of God? Where are we building our treasures? Where do we put our focus in life? God says to build our treasures up in heaven. You know, one day we will bow a knee, we will give an account for the life that we live. One day, you know, God says, I have gone to prepare a place for you. Many of us have, all of us have imagination, so we can imagine, what is that going to look like? What is it going to be like when we enter into heaven? This place that is prepared for me. And then we read through scripture and there's crowns that we can give back. We begin to see how we lived our life here in this world, and we think about the judgment and how much of a Christian am I really? Am I living a life that's pleasing to the Lord? Am I living a life that places Christ preeminent in my life? Or am I just consistently building up my treasures here on this earth? You know, we can only imagine what it's going to be like when we enter heaven. I have a lot of pastor friends that didn't make it through COVID. I have family, just my mom passed away last February. I think you knew about that. My dad is getting older. My wife's father passed away 4 years ago. We see these folks that have lived their life, their time, and God's taken them home. They know what it's like right now. And you know, one of the biggest fears in my life, and I don't think that I'll ever overcome it, is the day that I meet Christ and he looks down and says, you could have done so much more. You fought the good fight. You kept the faith. You did these things. And you know, here's a crown, but you could have earned 20. You could have done so much more. The foundations in life, in the beginning, the direction in life, God's holy word. Here, Philip was not only a faithful preacher, he was an obedient personal worker. Oh, how much it would be great to be known by God that I am an obedient personal worker, that I am obedient in the life that I live, that I'm not a murmurer, I'm not a complainer, I'm not caught up in the wrath of this world, but Lord, I just want to be pleasing to you in the life that I live every single day. Philip wasn't just a faithful preacher, he was an obedient personal worker. Think about Philip for just a moment. He could have pulled the pride card and said, oh, but God, there's so much going on over here. You want me to go over to one thing, one man, one place? He left those that he was preaching to follow in obedience to one soul. God has given the task of witnessing to each one of us. I've come to learn, in reality, it's not about numbers. When I thought about this trip to the Dominican and I thought about how much money we were going to have to put together and all the folks to get involved and figure out everybody else's plane ticket, which is a nightmare, by the way. Trying to get everybody coordinated at the same time so that we can land in the DR and eat pizza at the same time was the worst of all of it. Praise the Lord, we all made it. Only Carrie Charles got held up by security. Carrie is our camp director, who you saw in the video. The poor guy gets held up everywhere. He's probably the closest person that I know to the Lord, but he gets caught up in everything. For whatever reason, they thought he was trying to break in and steal the Dominican Republic. And so we finally get him down and we eat pizza. This witnessing opportunity, I was thinking about all that was involved, and you know, yes, it is fun. You can put fun in that place of, oh, I get to do a mission trip for the first time. It's just like going to camp, you know? If you've never been to camp and somebody pays your way and says, hey, you're going to camp this summer, there's an excitement there. You know? It's like when you get to go on vacation, right? Husbands, we get home on Friday night, and it's, next week is vacation, and your wife's already done all the work and packed everything because her excitement a little. Maybe I'm talking crazy. My wife used to do that for us. The RV would be ready. It's just like pull in the driveway, grab a donut, and get in the RV and hit the road, you know? That was how my wife brought us up. Maybe yours is not, but that excitement level. When it's time to go on vacation and everything is ready and you're hitting the road. So we had that excitement level. It was something new. It was a new opportunity. But we knew in our minds there is a work to be done. And we could have just as easily looked at everything and said, well, it's going to cost this amount of money. It's going to be this amount of stress. We've got all these people coming from all over the country. I mean, we had young men coming from Idaho. I'm telling you, the plane thing was a nightmare. But we finally got it ready, and we got it there, and we could have just looked at all that in the beginning and said, you know what, God? It's a lot of work. You've got missionaries over there. Maybe there's an opportunity for someone else to go, but for us, we just want to stick to where you've called us, Lord, right here in this place we call our comfort zone, this camp ministry. We could have just left it at that and said, no, God. Someone else could go. Because we could have looked at the opportunity and said, well, we're going to go all the way over there and what if nobody gets saved? You know, that's always the thought. That's always the thought on every preacher's mind, I'm sure. Evangelists, we always think about that. What if? But again, it's not about, it's about preaching God's word. The Holy Spirit will do the work.
That's right.
We'll plant the seed and thank the Lord. God gave us the opportunity to go over there. We dealt with the language situation. We had a couple translators. Praise the Lord, some of those young people can speak English. And so I had a blast with those in that crowd of English speakers. And then, but God blessed us to where he allowed us to see the tenderness of the hearts of these young people. To get up and walk to camp every day, to make decisions at the altar at the end of the service at night. God bless us. We were able to witness 4 souls get saved.
Amen.
We saw young ladies who have been caught up in trafficking and all this stuff that came to camp and was just burdened by the word of God. And I thought, thank the Lord for that opportunity. I give you that illustration and that update to share with you. Philip could have said, we've got this revival is going on over here. Send somebody else to that unit. And unfortunately, a lot of times in our Christian walk, we do that. I don't want to talk to the grumpy guy down in shipping. Send somebody else. Philip was not only a faithful preacher, he was an obedient personal worker. He left those that he was preaching to follow in obedience. Folks, God has given us the task to witness to the lost. We can go every day and meet somebody who needs to hear about Jesus. We must prepare our hearts first thing in the morning for the opportunities. But I want to bring it down on a personal level this morning with just four short points. My first thing I want you to see here in the Bible is we see that there was an appointment. Look at verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. This Ethiopian had come to Jerusalem here to worship and now was returning on his way back. This was a eunuch that was in charge of the queen's finances and everything. And so he had come to worship and he was making his way back. And then God called Philip to go and meet with this eunuch. And so my first point this morning, I want you to see that there was an appointment. There was a time that God had already planned for this eunuch to meet someone. As you think about also in the book of Acts, how Peter was called to go and meet. I got a brain freeze now. But anyway, there's many stories throughout the Bible where God is using men to go and meet these other certain people. And here God was asking Philip to go and meet with this eunuch. There was an appointment. This appointment was set. There was a time that it was set. Not only was it set, it was determined. It was with an important person. We know about this eunuch being the financial guy of the queen. This was an important person. And not only that, but this appointment was not to be missed. In other words, if Philip said, you know what, God, we've got this revival going on over here. We're in our comfort zone. We're in our good place. Then the appointment still would have been met. God just would have used someone else. And think about that in our lives today. I have no idea why God called me to start a new Christian camp in 2016. I have no idea why God even decided to use myself, my family, and the wonderful staff that we have and why he's put it all together. I have no idea sometimes why God calls certain people to whole different countries to do his work. But it's amazing that God is using so many people to do so many things. And it's very easy back then in 2016 for me to say, Lord, I'm in my comfort zone. I'm happy being a youth pastor. I'm happy working my full-time job. I'm happy with what you've blessed me with already today. And it's so easy for us to get caught in that, what I call the comfort place of our lives. This appointment was set. There was a determined time. It's how it was lined up as the eunuch was leaving Jerusalem and heading back. It was a determined meeting. Not only was there an appointment, but there was also an ask. Look at beginning in verse 30 again. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? This is the first ask. And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? Second ask. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read, we begin to look at Isaiah here. So we see the ask. Philip, what thou readest? Philip asked the eunuch here, what are you reading? Do you understand what you're reading? We're looking at the verses here, Isaiah 53, verses 1 through 12, with the focus on verses 7 and 8. As we read here, the place of the scripture which was read was this, he was led as a sheep was slaughtered and like a lamb dumb before his shear, and so opened not his mouth. And so we see that Philip had a heart and compassion which drummed up the question, the ask, what thou readest. You know, when we have an opportunity to hand someone a Bible tract, let's take the time to make sure they know what they're getting. There's oftentimes, I've witnessed this in restaurants, maybe you have too, We're all good at putting a Bible tract on there with the bill and giving it to the waitress. And I seen this actually just a few weeks ago at Chili's. Me and some of the guys were eating at Chili's, and we gave them the payment little, I don't even know what you call those little plastic cards, but anyway, that's what they gave us. And so we had put one of the camp tracts on there, and we put the camp tract with the scripture up, because if you put it with the business card side, then, well, it's almost like we're soliciting. We're not soliciting. We want you to know Jesus. And so we put it in there, and no sooner than she went into the kitchen, I saw her fling it into the trash can. Didn't even take a moment. Didn't even take a moment to look at it. And so Philip here had a care, had a concern. What thou readest. The eunuch also was very interested, wanting the information. He says, how can I let someone guide me? So the eunuch is asking, guide me. Come up and sit, welcoming him in. Is this of the prophet or of some other man? This began to open up the floodgates. Someone asked you in your life, why are you so happy? Why are you so filled with joy? That's the greatest opportunity to say, because Jesus Christ loves me. And let me share with you how you can know he loves you as well. The ask, Philip prompted with, he began to preach Jesus. The life of Jesus is a wonderful thing that we have available to us to study. You look in Luke chapter 2, you begin to see the birth of Jesus. These are the lessons that we study and we preach during the Christmas season. And then you go to Luke 23 and we see the end of that. The time when Christ shed his blood on the cross. We have the whole gospel message. Here Philip began to preach or teach the eunuch this full gospel message. The fact that Jesus Christ came to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to the cross to bear the world's sins, shed his blood for you and me, was buried, and rose the third day, and today he sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. The gospel. Jesus Christ loves you and I so much that he died. He shed his blood so that he could pay the price for our sins. What a wonderful blessing. There is nothing that I could have done in my life. I realized as a 12-year-old boy, when I knew I needed a Savior, that there is nothing that I could do. I can't pay my way. I can't work my way. I can't beg my way. The only way was accept the free gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. Death, burial, and resurrection. And sometimes it's hard to believe because I make mistakes all the time, but God still loves me. The ask, not only do we see the ask, we see the appointment first, then we see the ask, and then we see the acceptance. Beginning in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There was an acceptance for the gospel's sake, for Philip to preach Jesus. Folks, for you and I as believers today, for the gospel's sake, preach Jesus. Amen. Share the good news. You see, those of us that are saved, those of us that have placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ have the greatest gift known. And for us not to share it. You know, my mom, she was a nice lady sometimes, but we weren't the best kids either. And there were many a time that she flipped me over, just walking by, flipping me over, head down, feet up, because she didn't mess around. My mom would watch many of my sermons online here toward the end, and But I made it a point to go to the hospital, and I made it a point to make sure that Mom knew her salvation. And she did. And I was so grateful for that. But folks, we should not wait till the hospital bed or the death bed or the sick bed in order to drum up the courage to go and witness to someone. The Bible's very clear. God will never leave us nor forsake us. If we're willing to move forward, then God would be with us. The acceptance for the gospel's sake. The acceptance is clear. They were on their way. They stopped immediately. The eunuch said, "What hinders me from being baptized? I believe." There's an acceptance. Fourth, there's an assurance. Look at verse 39. "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." The eunuch here was rejoicing because there was assurance. You remember the excitement? You remember the day that you got saved? You remember the excitement that you had? I know I remember because the pastor was preaching on hell, and I knew I didn't want to go to hell. And I had always dreamed when you die, I'd just fall in this black world of abyss. I think I probably told you that before. Kind of a weird kid thought, but that's what I thought. When you die, you go to this dark place where nothing. And I realized there was a Savior. And I realized I did not want to spend all of my eternity in hell. And the day that I got on my knees and I prayed, "God, save my soul," it wasn't the prayer, it was the heart. And I remember from that very moment, there was assurance. And you know what? Every day of my life today, there's an assurance that God is with me, that God loves me. There's an assurance that God will take care of us. Rejoicing, it says. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Being a joyful Christian. How can we be a joyful Christian? Well, 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you." I think when we take all of the cares of the world and just give them to the feet of Jesus, we can begin to rejoice in our Christian walk. We can live a life rejoicing, being full of joy. Where God leads, he provides. He is always with us, and he'll never leave us nor forsake us. As we look at just these few verses here in the book of Acts, we see the appointment. We see there was an ask, there was an acceptance, and there was assurance. Now let me just give you a little small application, and then we'll be done. For the appointment, in our lives, we have many appointments. I used this illustration last week. I preached the same message. We all have appointments in life. Many of them we don't like. Dentist appointment. I really only use that because my wife spent almost 20 years of her life in the dentist field. Doctor's appointments. Speeding ticket appointments. Court, right? Court. I can't think of any others. Those are the three worst. The point is, we have appointments in life. Let me remind you, you have an appointment with the Lord. You have an appointment with the Lord today. I said in Sunday school, you didn't come today by accident. You came for a purpose. Maybe you're here today is because God has an appointment set for you today. Whether that's be for salvation, whether that appointment is set for you to give your life over to the Lord, meaning he's been burdening you to do something. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, but you do. My question to you is, will you show up to that appointment today, or will you continue to reschedule it? You know, I've learned, I'm not perfect at it, but I've learned when God burdens my heart, I need to move.
Amen.
When I begin to feel the Holy Spirit just coming down on me and burdening my heart, I've learned it's time to move. It's time to do something. I may not have all the clarity and I may not have all the understanding, but I know it's time to do something. And in the life, maybe we can reschedule the dentist appointment. Hey, we could even break the law and reschedule the court date. But I want to let you know this morning, I would not get in the habit of rescheduling appointments with the Lord.
Amen.
That's right.
Philip had an appointment set to meet with this unit that God had set up, that God had put together. Because God knows. I believe that God had, from the wonderful blessings that God has blessed our ministry with, God had an appointment to start a new camp ministry. God had an appointment to call us to be involved. We could have said no. But I think even today, if I'd have said no, there still would have been a camp ministry over there. It may not have been called the Edge, but it would have been a camp ministry that somebody God had burdened to put together.
Amen.
And then the ask. You know, 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4 gives us a clear gospel message. If God's burning in your heart in the ministry tonight, this morning, I want to encourage you to, when we do this invitation, you just speak to God. Maybe it's the day that you need to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe it's the day that God has been burdening your heart for something in the ministry and you just haven't given in to Him. You haven't opened your heart to that. I'm often reminded of Isaiah 6:8. Here am I, send me. Is God asking you to a new desert place? That's my question. Many times we get very comfortable in our comfort zone. We don't want to change things. We want the same brand of coffee in the morning. We want the same pillowcase on the bed at night. We want the same place of work. Maybe God's trying to interrupt all that and say, I've got so much more for you. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye into all the world. You say, Brother Scott, it's very clear. God's not calling me to Africa. God's not calling me to the DR. No, but I'm pretty sure God is calling you to your own Jerusalem.
Right.
Because this verse is a commandment to go ye unto all the world. Where's God going to use you? Get more involved in your place right now where God has you. Give of your time and your talents. Folks, the harvest is plenteous and we need more laborers. Those of us in ministry full-time are realizing that it's just not a thing that preachers preach, that evangelists preach, that missionaries talk about. It is a true thing. I wish I could count just on one hand, maybe even two, the number of churches that do not have a pastor today. I wish I could count on the other two hands, the number of missionaries that are leaving the field. And a lot of the young people that are coming out of the schools that have no heart and desire for the Lord's work. It burdens my heart. If God gives me 30 more years, I'll be 77. I don't want to look at me at 77. But what I do want to see is a change in our Christian walk amongst believers. Folks, we need more laborers. And then next we see the acceptance. Maybe it's time to pause in our life and accept what the Holy Spirit has burdened our hearts with. You know, Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. When was the last time you can honestly say that I just was still listening for what God had for me? Be still and know that I'm God. Let's just not get comfortable in the place we're in. but strive to do more for the gospel's sake. And then last, the assurance. Live your life joyfully. Be excited. Hey, there's no better thing in life than to be a Christian. Live a life filled with joy. Be excited. No matter the place God has you in, be full of joy in that place. Do everything to the glory of God. Everything. And be filled with joy. Get involved here at Holly Hills. Give of your time joyfully. Give financially joyfully. Invest in others and invest in God's kingdom. Folks, I wanted to preach this message this morning in hopes that the Holy Spirit would open your hearts and mind and remind you of an appointment. Maybe today is that day. That appointment that you had with God, that God burdened your heart for one, either salvation or to do something for Him, and you've been rescheduling that appointment week after week, Sunday after Sunday. And maybe the Holy Spirit's burdening you this morning. Don't reschedule this appointment. Now is your time to allow God to work in your hearts. It's time for you to ask. It's time for you to accept. And God will give us the assurance. All of us on the staff at the Edge have a true burden for the lost. And I think about as I read this illustration in October 1857. J. Hudson Taylor began to minister in Ningpo, China. And he led a Mr. Nye to Christ. The man was overjoyed and wanted to share his faith with others. "How long have you had the good tidings in England?" Mr. Nye asked Hudson Taylor one day. Taylor acknowledged that England had known the gospel for many centuries. "My father died seeking the truth," said Mr. Nye. "Why didn't you come sooner?" Taylor had no answer to that penetrating question. "How long have you known the gospel? How far have you shared it personally? How long have you had appointments set with God? And how often have you rescheduled them?" Folks, is it time for you to come to the altar? Is it time for you to meet that appointment? Ask the question. Accept the answer. And go out of these doors filled with joy. Because you have the assurance. Father, we're so grateful for this day. And Lord, I thank you for the time that you've allowed me to be here and share your word. I thank you for the burden that you placed on my heart. Father, I pray this morning, the Holy Spirit has free roam in this building, and I pray for the hearts of those that may be lost in here this morning. Father, today is the day of salvation, and I pray this morning would be the day that they come forward to talk to someone. Lord, I pray for those that are in the room that just been missing appointment after appointment after appointment. Every opportunity to serve you. I pray you'll work in their hearts and lives this morning. As we close this morning and heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll ask Pastor to make his way up here. A show of hands this morning. Would you say, "Brother Scott, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning"? If that was you, would you just raise up your hand? "The Lord really spoke to my heart this morning." Thank you. Another show of hands. If you're here this morning and you say, "Yes, God spoke to my heart, and I know today is the day that I need to have some time with my God. I've been neglecting it. I've been running from the things of the Lord. Not in a bad way, just busy. But God, I want to get that right with you this morning." If that's you, would you lift your hand up before the Lord this morning? "God, I need to get that right." I'm going to turn the service over here to Pastor in just a minute after I pray, and I want you to even if you have to do it there in your seat. Take time with God this morning. God loves you, and God wants to use you. So if you say, I have an appointment with the Lord this morning, and I want to get that right, I hope and pray you get that right today. If you're in the building and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we would love to talk with you. Is there anyone in the room? I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. But if you say, Brother Scott, I listened to your message this morning, but I've never truly placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If that's you, would you just lift up your hand real quickly so I can pray for you and put it back down? Amen. Father, we're so grateful for this day. And Lord, we just thank you for your blessing. I thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy. Lord, as we go into this invitation time, I pray you have free will. Allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through this building. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.